Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
I so love this time of year. You know, when you woke up this morning, I don't know if you know it, but you woke up in December. Yes. And to quote a fairly famous song, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And so if you're the host of Kingdom Pursuits, all of a sudden all sorts of neat things start popping up and all sorts of wonderful giving and all sorts of things to celebrate our Savior's birth. And so we have a lot of fun in December, and we're going to have a lot of fun today on Kingdom Pursuits. So first up, I have Reverend Darren Krotz with us, and he is actually the pastor at Smith Grove United Methodist Church. And so the rumor is you guys have united again, the Methodists. Is that true?
Yes, we have a wonderful coalition out in Davie County. Yes.
But more than that, he is the president. Well, not more than, I mean, there's nothing cooler than being pastor. But on top of that, he is also the president of Family Promise of Davie County. And can you tell our listeners briefly, what is Family Promise?
Family Promise is a community-based initiative to address generational poverty and homelessness. We focus on families that have children that are experiencing some type of transition due to unforeseen circumstances in their lives, because after all, being homeless is not who you are. It's a situation that you find yourself in. But we use churches, local worshiping congregations. We have 25 now that have joined in this coalition, a few more than 1,100 volunteers. And we use our churches that are normally empty 6 days a week for shelter for these families. So the families stay at the churches, volunteers feed them, they offer times of fellowship.
Wow, that's you know, I just did a Christian Car Guy show on easy, quick fixes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very MacGyverish when you think about it.
It's been
these unique. Churches are sitting empty. We got right. Shelter. I mean, did you get that from somebody else, or did you guys come up with that? I mean, that's brilliant.
Family Promise is a national organization. Our affiliate in Davie County was number 200 in the United States. It's
so
been around since 1997.
That Family Promise, they use churches.
Family Promise National has affiliates in 44 states in the United States. They just opened one in Juneau, Alaska, believe it or not. So we are part of a national organization.
I am just sitting here like, oh, wow, that is beyond cool. So they have a big event coming up for these families, as you imagine. You know, this Christmas they could use some stuff. And so they have a big event. It's called
A Promise of Christmas.
You see, right on time. A Promise of Christmas. And it's going to be December 6th at the Triple J Manor House. We're going to get in all kinds of stuff like that. And that's really cool. I mean, sometimes I'm so glad I get to host this show, because I find out so many cool things that people are doing. Another cool thing that is going on is we have Matt Willis with us, and he's got something coming on tomorrow. It's kind of like Mission Revolution.
That's right. Yeah, thanks for letting me talk about that today. Yeah, I'm the missions pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, and have done that for the past 2.5 years. But previous to that, my wife and my 3 kids were missionaries with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention in South Asia. And so, yeah, our heartbeat is for missions, and Mission Revolution is something that is happening tomorrow afternoon. And yeah, we'll get into details later, I'm sure.
Well, I'm giving you a few details right now, because you need to set your calendars right this minute, because Calvary West, which happens to be in Davie County, North Carolina, is going to have Todd Aharand.
Arand.
Shows how well I read. Todd Arand, he's going to preach at the Central Campus at Calvary, and then he's going to preach at Calvary West in Davie County tomorrow, right? And then he's coming back at 1 o'clock to Central Campus to have all sorts of events. Again, it's like a mission revolution, I'm just saying. And if I'm not mistaken, the Beatles, they wrote a song. I'm just kidding. So tomorrow, that's happening. If you're in Richmond today, you're in Charlotte, there's a revolution that's going to be happening here in North Carolina. But we are loaded for bear, as I said, because this time of year, we got all sorts of interesting stuff. We also have Alice Delancey with us, and she's with Silver Stockings. And
good morning.
.org. And you guys got a big thing going on.
Yes. Thank you, Robbie, for having me on the show. Also, first of all, I want to thank Jesus Christ for my salvation and also for his Spirit directing me to this very worthwhile ministry. This is a great ministry.
Yeah, so they're going to be collecting for elders this Christmas, and I get a chance to do a devotion actually in Davie County at Somerset every week, and I've got invited to do the Angel Tree. And so as I was looking at your list of things, this is very similar to what was on the Angel Tree. So speaking of angels, oh, that's wonderful. I love it. Speaking of angels, I happen to have right here in my hand some angels as described by children. And this is good stuff, so you feel free to laugh if necessary. Gregory, age 5, said, I only know the name of two angels, Hark and Harold. Olive, age 9, said, everybody got it all wrong. Angels don't wear halos anymore. I forget why, but scientists are working on it. There you go. Matthew, age 9, says, it's not easy to become an angel. First you die, then you go to heaven, and then there's still the flight training you have to go through. And then you got to agree to wear those angel clothes. That's a big deal. Mitchell, age 9, says, angels work for God and watch over kids when God has something else to do. Henry, age 8, my guardian angel helps me with math, but he's not much good for science. I would love to speak with Henry for a few minutes. Jack, age 6, says, angels don't eat, but they drink milk from holy cows. Now, Jack is a man after my own heart right there, don't you think, Rachel? He drinks milk from holy cows. Daniel, age 9, angels talk all the while they're flying. They talk all the way while they're flying you up to heaven. The main subject is where you went wrong before you got dead. That's exactly, I'm reading it word for word here. Reagan, age 10, said, when angel gets mad, he takes a deep breath and counts to 10. And when he gets out, he lets out all his breath, somewhere there's a tornado. That's creative, you know? Sarah, age 6, says, angels have a lot to do. They keep very busy. If you lose a tooth, an angel comes in through your window and leaves money under your pillow. And then when it gets cold, angels go north for the winter. If you're wondering, Jared, age 8, angels live in cloud houses made by God and his son, who's a very good carpenter. Wouldn't you agree? Antonio, age 9, all angels are girls because they got to wear dresses. And boys don't go for that. All right, Catherine, age 9, my angel is my grandma who died last year. She got a big head start on helping me while she was down here on Earth. You can say, aw, that was aw. I mean, that really is. And then Vicky, age 8. Some of the angels are in charge of helping heal sick animals and pets. And if they don't make the animals get better, they help the child get over it.
Mm. That's neat.
Vicky is pretty perceptive. Sarah, age 7. What I don't get about angels is why, when someone is in love, they shoot arrows at them. I don't get that either. Do you, Rachel? No. So, you know, at the end of all my stuff, I always have a riddle, and I do have a riddle. I really like my riddle today. And so my riddle today is, the first angel mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible met who by the fountain on the way to Shur for sure? Do you know who for sure that was? If you know, you can call us at 866-348-7884. The first angel to mention the Bible, who did they meet up with? Rachel, if they can do that, tell them what they'll win.
Well, today we're giving away a couple of tickets for the Wake Forest versus Charlotte game on December 6th, so they can win that if they call in.
Right, and that game is probably early enough so they can still make it to your event December 6th. If, you know, we want to make sure, you know, all you have to do is call in and tell us, in the King James Version of the Bible, the first angel mentioned met with who on the way to Shur for sure. So much more coming up. And the music stopped. The computer's running. I think we're still on the air for a few more seconds. There it sounds like. That sounds like my... I see. Doesn't that feel so heroic when you hear that? And I feel like I'm surrounded by heroes today. We have Darren, we have Alice, and we have Matt. And we have so much to hear about. We only have 3 segments left to cover it all. We got Mission Revolution. We have silver stockings, and we have the promise of Christmas. Oh, that's a lot of promise there. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are very blessed to have with us Reverend Darren Krotz, the president of Family Promise of Davie County. Their Promise of Christmas event is coming December 6th to the Triple J Manor House. And again, this event is to help these homeless families that are cool staying in churches. This is amazing. I'm just really excited to find out more about that. We also have with us Matt Willis, who is with Mission. Well, he's actually one of the missions pastors at Calvary Baptist Church, but he is promoting the event Mission Revolution. Todd Arend.
Correct.
Is going to preach Sunday. I looked at
the spelling is different, but it sounds like I ran the errand to Walmart.
Yeah, tomorrow.
And I missed the revolution part.
Yeah, we're getting to that.
Oh, okay.
They say we're on a yeah, it's coming. All right. It's coming tomorrow to Calvary Baptist Church, kind of all day. He's going to be preaching, and then from 1 to 4, they've got all sorts of other stuff going on where you can find out about that. And we have Alice DeLacy with Silver Stockings. .org. They are collecting this time of year because the elders, they're looking for all these different wonderful things, baby powder, shampoo, deodorant, and slippers and blankets.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And silver stockings.
We don't have any silver stockings, but socks are okay. We do want socks donated, that's for sure. You know, Robbie, the scripture says pure religion and undefiled before God. The Father says this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And I focus on the word affliction. That is what drives us. You know, what the people in charge of the nursing homes tell us, that a lot of elderly people get dropped off and nobody ever comes back to see them again. The ones that we deal with are the ones that have no visitors.
I can assure you, I've done that devotion at Somerset in Davie County for over 20 years.
Oh, okay, good.
And the ones that break my heart, because they'll talk to me, mm-hmm. they'll say, I went to this church for 50 years, and nobody has ever come to see me. And
what a shame.
Yeah, because, you know, I was just thinking about the brilliance of using churches for homeless people and you know, that the church is kind of like, wow, there's a lot on our plates as far as responsibility, because we got these people out there that are homeless. We got people out there in Hindi. Where?
That's right. Yes.
As because Matt speaks Hindi, so we're going to mm-hmm. hear a little bit about that in a minute. Because I mean, he did "For God So Loved the World" in Hindi a minute ago. But there's people out there that need God in Hindi. But then there's the people in the nursing homes that attended your church for 50 years.
Yeah, and it's oftentimes, you know, we talk about missions work being somewhere else, you know, outside of our own communities, but Family Promise is a great way to have missions work within your own setting, within your own group of folks, within your own nursing homes, wherever you can do that to basically address that need that is just next door. You know, a lot of us have perceptions of who homeless folks are. One thing that Family Promise of Davie County has done, I think, in our year and a half of actually receiving families, we've removed what that normal stereotype of what a homeless person is. I mean, we have toddlers. There's been twins that have taken their first steps in some of our fellowship halls. There's been baptisms.
Well, let me speak to that a second, because that's beyond cool. I teach special needs at Calvary mm-hmm. and have for many years. When you have an opportunity to hang out with some people who have autism, or you have an opportunity to hang out for a period of time with somebody who has Down syndrome, all of a sudden that stereotypical label leaves and they're just, you know, Jane, or they're just, you know, Larry. They're your friend. They're, you know, and all of a sudden they're not somebody that has Down syndrome. They're your friend.
Right.
And same, it's similar that you would say that about a homeless person. But again, when I go to the nursing home or, you know, assisted living, and I talk to those people, then all of a sudden that's not a person in a nursing home. I am, you know, talking
speaking
to Marcia,
to
right?
Yeah.
But then also on mission, right? which I would love you to speak to, Matt. You wrote a book on this mission revolutionary idea. And I wonder, that you speak about that passage in Deuteronomy on how the eagle makes the nest more uncomfortable. Because if you're hanging out in your nest, all those stereotypical things kind of hand out. But if you get out of your nest, you go meet some Hindi people.
Yeah, that's right. So the book that I co-authored with my granddad is called Learning to Soar. And the subtitle is How to Grow Through Transitions and Trials. It's available by NAV Press. They published it in 2009. Yeah, it uses that passage in Deuteronomy 32. And the eagle sometimes uses things that the child would seem are uncomfortable and wrong. And why would my parents who love me make life uncomfortable for me? But the purpose that the eagle does this, we did the scientific research. They do it for the children that aren't flying on time. So for their own good, their own survival, which means when we apply that spiritually, we usually think, if something bad is happening in our life or painful, what is our normal prayer? God, take it away, right? And sometimes God is the one that actually brought the painful circumstance to us, not because he wants to hurt us, but because he wants us to grow more mature in him. He loves us. And sometimes it's hard to grow.
Right. And so when you see, and I love that. And the idea being to get to the Isaiah, you know, we want to soar like eagles, but in order to do that, you got to climb out of the nest. And the beauty of it is, and again, if you're me and you get to watch God put things on people's hearts, like the elderly or like the homeless or like people that are in a foreign country, you know, so many different ways that he puts that so that we will essentially, you know, get out of the nest. And when you go out there, you find out, wow, you get more out of this than you actually put into it.
Yeah, I think comfort is one of the reasons that keep Christians in the nest when God wants us to get out and fly. I think the second thing is fear. And fear of failing. And it's interesting, in the research that we did in the book, most eagles, when they take their first flight out of a nest, crash into a tree. Sometimes they even just grab a branch and they're hanging upside down. The majority of them have a crash landing. But the important thing is to just realize we all fail, but there's God's grace when we fail. And so we can fail forward and just keep trusting God.
Wow. Have you had that situation, Pastor, where you jumped out of the nest and you ended up upside down?
For sure.
Crashed into the tree.
For sure. I'm encouraged by what Matt says, that it's that moving forward that you're always trying to do. So many times in many of our close circle of friends, or even in some of our congregations, if adversity comes, we tend to want to focus inward. And how can we handle this? Or maybe how have we handled this before? It's just a great way to, if you can think of that analogy that Matt just brought up, just move out into the uncertain, but trust God in that, and then just watch God work.
Let's dive into that a second, okay? Because I have a ministry that I work with single moms and widows called the Jesus Labor Love. And of course, you know, I naively flew out of the nest thinking that, wow, when these people get help, they're going to be really appreciative. This is going to be really cool. They're going to love this. This is going to be great. And what I found out was hurting people hurt people. And it's not at all uncommon for the single mom, widow, or whatever to want to take the head off of the person that gave them the free labor.
and yes, it happens.
And so, you know, when you're out there selling these people on the idea of opening their church to these homeless people, you know, I'm just picturing that some ministry happens, and if it weren't for the people, this stuff would be easy, right?
No, if we, it's a both and, I think. Right. If it wasn't for the people, the volunteers that we've assembled, somewhere around the neighborhood of 1,100 now in Davie County, we couldn't do this.
Right.
We need our volunteers to be engaged, but we also like to tell them that they can be engaged at whatever level they'd like to be engaged at, because you do have folks that are, you know, I really don't know about this thing. I'll just come one night and maybe watch the meal. But what we found is those folks that seem to be a little obtuse to the idea, maybe, or even standoffish, so to speak, if they just give themselves over for one moment, when you have a child saying a blessing in a church, and at the end of that blessing, the child says, "And God, I pray for these volunteers that are helping me and my family with our home this week." If you can put yourself in those situations to experience that and watch God move, I really believe that that'll melt the hardest of hearts.
But here's the interesting thing. As Matt pointed out, you jump out of the nest, and it's not going to be uncommon that you go slamming into that tree. Now, if you have seen the movie Les Miserables, let me destroy, you know, you might remember that Jean Valjean's first night in the church, right? What'd he do? He slapped the bishop upside the head, knocked him out, right, and took the silver.
And it's about where people are coming from, what situation are they
and,
in.
And I'm just guessing.
Where are they living?
But if you watch the rest of the movie, right, that bishop shows him grace. Hmm. And he ends up giving him the silver candlesticks along with that, which he essentially tells Jean Valjean, you know, with this silver, I bought your soul. So what I'm asking you is, do you have that story, that Jean Valjean story, where this homeless family, you know, they eventually, I'm not saying name names, but they hit the bishop and they took the silver, but then you saw God come through that and essentially the eagle went into the tree, but then God made it okay.
We had a specific family that came into our program that was really not involved in any type of organized worship and or church, and they were with us, I think maybe 70 days, and at about that 60-day mark, you start really thinking through with them, you know, what are your next steps to be with us? And they were baptized at one of our local churches, so that was the same thing. They were standoffish, a little closed off because of their situation, but they ended up being baptized by one of our local pastors, which was great.
Because you continued to show them grace, and despite the fact that it didn't seem like it was taken care of, like the bishop, in so many different ways. When we come back, we're going to find out about silver stockings. Sometimes those silver stockings folks aren't so friendly when you go. We're going to find out about all that when we come back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom we're so blessed today. Have with us Matt Willis with Mission Revolution. It's happening tomorrow at Calvary Baptist Church on Country Club in Winston-Salem. And then at Calvary West, Todd Arend is going to be preaching there tomorrow. And then in the afternoon from 1 to 4 at the Central Campus at Calvary in Winston-Salem, they're going to be going over some ideas. And essentially, you know, how do you live your life with a heart for missions? You know, you've got your, you know, obviously in today's show, we're talking about your Jerusalem and your Judea and then, you know, the ends of the earth. And so we've got all those different places to go. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. So as the missions pastor at Calvary Baptist Church here in Winston-Salem, I try to find a way to help anyone have easy on-ramps onto what God is doing in the world. Because usually when someone hears the word missions or missionary, they check out. Not me. That's a handful of people that God calls to be on a pedestal, but that's not me. But rather, it is actually something that God invites all believers on. And there's real simple ways to get involved. Pray, give, go, live. And I think the most important, like you said, Robbie, out of that is live with a heart and mind on mission. Because if you're in love with Jesus and you say, God, wherever you want me to go, wherever you lead, I'll go, you'll pray more, you'll give more, you'll go more. Like we had a guest preacher last year who works with the International Mission Board in Europe, and he said, don't sing the song anymore, wherever he leads, I'll go, if you don't have a passport, because you don't mean it.
There you go. And so in some cases, he says, go to those with silver stockings. So we have Alice Delaney, who is here with silverstockings.org, which, by the way, if you're thinking, wow, I would love to take part in giving baby powder, deodorant, lotion, and those kind of things, because, I mean, how wonderful. And
yes,
it's
simple.
Silverstockings.org, and the people for that. And we also have with us Reverend Darren Krotz, who is with Family Promise of Davie County and their Promise of Christmas event. And I'll just tell you, you know, the tickets to this are $60. And you might think $60, oh my goodness. But it's going to be quite an event because they're going to have a disc jockey. They're going to have food. They're going to have all sorts of stuff. They're going to be giving away Christmas trees.
We're auctioning.
You're auctioning Christmas trees so that people can buy them. All that is going, if you heard earlier, they're keeping homeless people in their churches. And so, wow, they're supporting this for Christmas. And you can find out all about that by going to this event.
And also familypromisedc.org. And something else I want to just throw in there. We've been We've been taking families in since September of 2017, and since that time, we've served 12 families. And within those family units, it's been 28 children. So we're real proud of that fact, and we think that as the homeless population in the United States and in the world is primarily families, we are really trying to address the cycle of homelessness by working in the lives of those children to get them out on their own with their parents. But 28 kids in 1 year that had no sustainable housing and maybe even no hope in some cases, we were able to get involved in their lives. Work through very effective case management by our executive director.
Just think about, I mean, I just sit there, my mind's blown. Because, I mean, just drive through the countryside of North Carolina anywhere, and I'll bet you're going to pass a church about every 10 blocks. And most of them are sitting there empty while there's people out there that are freezing to death, that don't have any food, that don't have it. And it's just like, wow. I mean, God, you're so cool. You come up with this MacGyver type strategy, and so I'm just, my hat's off to you guys, but talk about MacGyver's type strategy. When we left our hero Alice, we were going to hit her with a hard question.
I'm here.
You've worked with Silver Stockings for a while, right?
Yes, probably 10 or 15 years, just volunteering.
So when you hear this story about the eagle trying to fly for the first time, and you're going to go help these people, and as I mentioned before, I love ministry. I do it. But I also understand that hurting people hurt people. And you don't know what all that they've been, but obviously you got seniors that are sometimes very angry.
Yes, but they are so sweet.
But
and so,
I'm not want to hear so, the so sweet part. I want to hear the time that, oh my goodness, God, I didn't think there was any way in the world this situation would come through, but God came through.
Yes, he did. He came through working on me.
Well, he did me too.
Because I'm the one that was hesitant.
Well, I know you got a story. You don't have to name names, but I'm just saying, because people who get involved in ministry, you go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be wonderful. The people that I do this for are just going to be so appreciative. And you think all this, but God has another plan for you.
Yes.
That you're going to crash into that tree, and then you're going to find yourself like, I don't know what to do, and you got to turn back to God, because that's part of being crashed into the tree upside down,
right.
Is that he's hoping that you'll reach out to Dad and say, what do I do now? And so if everybody goes into ministry thinking that, oh, this is going to be fun, this is going to be easy, this is going to be, no.
Sometimes they just don't want anybody. They're so hurt, you know, from
being left. That's the story. That's the one right there. Tell it.
They're so hurt from being left there. They just don't want anybody to come in and visit them and give them anything. So if you can smile and be a friend for the moment, that's what it's all about. Also, we are looking for people to visit. And
see,
people can pay $1.
Alice, you're missing me. Don't miss me, okay? I'm wanting the story.
Yeah.
I want, you know, that time, that person. I know what you're doing, what I'm saying, but you've been doing this. Okay, maybe it happened, because I also happen to know Alice is about prayer, and she's got a prayer booth.
That's correct.
That she takes all over the place.
That's correct.
And maybe there was a time where you were just going to pray for somebody, and oh my goodness, it went all over the place.
Yeah.
And then that story.
Yeah, that's the way it is in the nursing home, too. I offer to pray, and they don't want to pray. They don't want nothing to do with prayer, and they'll just
and
fight
back.
And
so has there ever been one that all of a sudden, after told you 20 times, I don't want you to pray for me, all of a sudden, ma'am, would you mind praying for me?
Yeah, that does happen, yeah. Go ahead and pray anyway, because they want it. And then when you're done, they're very happy that you did, and they thank you profusely. I've got a story to tell with the prayer station, but, you know, this
well,
was
then
about
tell it, tell
Silver
it. That's
Stocking.
I'm trying to pry it out of you with a crowbar.
Yeah, but the Silver Stocking is
tell
so
the story with the prayer thing.
Okay, the prayer station, some friends of mine, we do this together. We went to an apartment complex. We set up, and all of a sudden, one of the people got mad at somebody that was with us and went to, hit him. And that woman hit me instead of him and knocked me way against the fence. And, you know, that was a difficult time for me, but I had no intention of fighting back or turning her in or anything. I had it in my head, just turn the other cheek. That's how I had it in my head. But, you know, eventually.
So, okay, going back to that minute, all right. So we're getting there now.
Okay.
So you're praying and you're there to help, and this woman accidentally. And you know it wasn't the punch wasn't meant for you, but you're fine. You're against the wall, and now you're What was the end of that story?
Well, the end of that story is the minister that was the object of being hit kept calling, wanting us to go back and do more things and to go out and reach the people. And he had a heart for it. And that made me feel good, of course, that they still wanted to do it, even though that happened. But the woman...
And so did you still do it?
Yeah, I still do it, yeah.
And so did you feel the pain of the tree coming up against you?
Yes,
and you're
I
upside
did.
Down there
I'm
for
a little
minute?
Careful about where I go more than but that was...
Go ahead, Matt, go ahead.
Well, I think the question that we're really asking here, when we face difficulty as we're trying to share and show the gospel, both in word and deed with people, is this question that every Christian has to answer, is Jesus worth it? And the answer that we... definitely should answer. Of course, we know the Sunday school answer, yes. But I think about someone like John Chau. He's been in the news a lot over the last 2 weeks. His last name is spelled C-H-A-U. He was the 20-something aged guy that went to an island in the Indian Ocean and was killed 2 weeks ago. And I read an article yesterday that came out on Desiring God's website, you know, related to John Piper's ministry, and it was great. It's asking that question. If Jesus is worth it, he went all through the pain and suffering, right? Hebrews 12 says, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who endured this suffering, scorning its shame, but at the end, he resurrected and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So if he paid it all, why couldn't we endure some pain for him?
And in doing that, just if I could add to that, thank you, Matt, we can all do our small part. You know, Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, and thank God for sending Jesus for that, and thank God for the grace that's been offered through that sacrifice. But where does that, I guess, probably meet with everyday life? Who is that image of Christ that we can actually reach out to, regardless of how they respond, but just that image of Christ that we can be with, which is children and orphans
well,
and widows?
Well, if I could share a story, this is cool, I think. We did a boot camp in Davie County at Carolina Bible Camp there in Davie County. And there was a young man who was in the middle of getting convicted.
Which is one of our host churches, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. And he was actually on his way, we would find out, that Sunday to accept Christ and be baptized. But in the midst of this conviction, you know, there were a lot of things running around in his mind. And for whatever reason, he was in a cabin by himself. And the first night that he spent in that cabin, he had all sorts of horrible dreams. He felt this, like the spirits were just coming after him, and he felt this oppression, which was telling him what we were telling him was all lies.
Wow.
The next night, another friend of ours, actually works at the station, came in, and he was in that cabin. He said, when that guy showed up, the spirit went away. And I believe that's true. That sometimes you just showing up. Mm. Because when you come in, Jesus is there inside of you. And just like the woman that was caught in adultery, you know, when you're standing there, where are your accusers? They can't hang out where Jesus hangs out. And so when you just walk into a situation sometimes, you just go down, lay down your head. You don't know. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And so we got so much more coming up. We got silverstockings.org. We got Family Promise of Davie County, and we have Mission Revolution. I say you're on a revolution. Well, hell, you know, we all want to change the world. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you woke up in December this morning. And so we have all these wonderful things that God does doing this time of year tomorrow at Calvary Baptist Church in Winston-Salem and at Calvary West in Davie County. We got Todd Aaron, and we're going to hear so much more about that with Mission Revolution going on. And Matt is going to speak to that in a minute. We have Reverend Darren Kratz, who is the president of Family Promise of Davie County and their Promise of Christmas event. I mean, how wonderful is it that you could come take part in what these churches are doing? I think it is so fabulous that they're using these church buildings to house the homeless And what a time to think about that, and how awesome is that. And then we have Alice DeLancey, who is with Silver Stockings and silverstockings.org, where they are collecting for the elders. You can find out all the things that they want there at silverstockings.org. And, you know, it's so easy to give this Christmas. And maybe you don't have the wherewithal to give. We all have the wherewithal to pray and to get involved with those kind of things. So I'm very excited about that. We have a phone call, which means somebody may be answering my riddle. Well, I would hate that I stumped you with this question of the first angel mentioned in the King James Bible. Who was sitting by the fountain of Shur, for sure? I'm just telling you. That's where that person was sitting, by the fountain of Shur, for sure. So where for sure is that person? Or who is that person? 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and win those tickets to the Wake Forest game. And if you don't want those, we'll get you a T-shirt or a book or something. You know, we don't want to stump the panel today. But Matt, you had some things you wanted to say about this conference. We don't want to not get your stuff said.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. You know, when we say Todd Aaron, that means nothing to most people who are listening right now. But he is one of the best missions mobilizer speakers in America today. The reason a lot of people in North Carolina haven't heard or in here on the East Coast is because he's from Oklahoma. And so we have flown him in from the Midwest just for tomorrow. So in the morning, he's going to preach on the biblical basis of missions. And what he's going to basically say is the Great Commission in Matthew 28 wasn't just an afterthought that Jesus had after he resurrected and said, oh yeah, by the way, go make disciples of all peoples in the world before he ascended. Rather, he's going to say, this is the point of all of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And it's the history and eternity of what's going on. And so knowing that a lot of people already have the church that they attend Sunday morning. And so realizing that, we've also have him coming to speak in the afternoon. And so he'll do 3 one-hour workshops that will build on each other. And so if someone says, oh, I can't get there until 2 or 3, that's fine. Come whenever you want. But we've paid so that lunch is available for free and childcare up through fifth grade is available for free as well. However, if someone listening wants to take advantage of that opportunity, and we want them to, I would ask them to please RSVP today at calvarynow.com/missions so that we can make sure there's enough food for them tomorrow.
And if you can't remember calvarynow.com/missions, you can go to Kingdom Pursuits where the link is there so that you can go RSVP for the event tomorrow, because this guy is outstanding. And being from Oklahoma, from what I understand, he's outstanding in his field. Alice?
I want to let you know that everywhere you can donate a dollar or something, an item, because that would not cost much. But I wish all these churches that are listening in would set up a box in their church for these items, and we'll come pick them up. And there are places around for the nursing home.
Your Sunday school class. Mm-hmm. Call Alice, right?
Yeah, and,
or go to silverstockings.org.
Yeah, silverstockings.org, and call me.
And set up a box at your Sunday school class. Say, we're gonna take on 3 or 4 of these or whatever the situation is.
Yeah, and the phone number's on the boxes. The collection boxes are at Old Salisbury Road at Cagney's and at Stephen's Restaurant.
You got to realize people are listening in Richmond today and in Charlotte. And
oh, yeah. Okay, so, they're all around. Sorry,
they
forget about that.
They go to silverstockings.org because there they can find out where Silver Stockings is in their area.
That's right.
Yeah. But those listening in Richmond and local. Charlotte and Raleigh today, it's worth coming to hear Todd Aaron because, again, he's outstanding in his field and we don't want to leave him out there. He's coming from Oklahoma and it's going to be huge.
And if you're going to be in the Triad area,
there
why
you
not
go.
Just stay a few days and come out on Thursday from 6 to 8 for our A Promise of Christmas for Family Promise.
Yeah, give more details for that. Again,
You can go to familypromisedc.org. There's a link there that says A Promise of Christmas. We would really like for you to just follow that Evite link if you'd like to get some tickets. We do have some plans for folks that are just arriving that night. But it'll really help us with all of our logistical arrangements for that evening. And I want to give a shout out to a couple people within Family Promise that have really stepped up to the plate, and this would not be the ministry in Davie County that it is without them. Miss Lisa Foster, she is our executive director at Family Promise of Davie County, and she has just grabbed this initiative in Davie County and has just really owned it, been a part of it. You can just tell that it's something that she's really passionate about, and we thank her for all of her dedication. And also Miss Valerie Werbeck, she is our staff member at our day center. She does a lot of the heavy lifting with our clients, and Valerie has just been a godsend to us as well. But yes, all the details about that, we're going to be we're going to have food from 6 to 8. It's a buffet style meal, and then there's going to be a Christmas tree auction. So if you have maybe some issues like some of our families might have, not being able to get that Christmas tree decorated in time, or maybe stressing about that, just come out, enjoy a meal with us, and we'll be auctioning off Christmas trees. They'll be decorated. So if you are the lucky recipient of one of those, we will be delivering those the day after. So you got your Christmas tree knocked out as well. But the big reason we're doing this is for families in Davie County that are experiencing homelessness, especially those children from ages 0 to 17. So another thing that I would like to just put out there, if you have friends or maybe neighbors that want to try to help out in this capacity, nothing is too small. If you would like to come read at our day center for 15 minutes with a child, if you'd like to offer maybe your space as a place for families to stay, or even if you'd like to offer some of your expertise in tutoring, cooking, whatever it might be, we really would like for people in Davie County specifically to plug in however they can.
Is there a Family Promise in other areas of North Carolina that you're aware of?
There are three affiliates in North Carolina, and like I said earlier, there are 200, and I believe it's 210.
What are the other ones in North Carolina?
Lee County, Family Promise of Lee County. And there's also another chapter called the Interfaith Hospitality Network in Gastonia.
Okay, so that's one's down in Charlotte. For those of you who are in Charlotte this morning,
Interfaith Hospitality is the parent network of Family Promise.
So you can see that this opportunity looms.
Yes.
In Forsyth County.
In 2000.
In Wake County. If you're in Richmond today, is there somebody in Richmond, Virginia?
There are affiliates in Virginia, but I think they're down in Tidewater.
So, yeah. I mean, how brilliant is this idea?
And it's evidence-based. In 2017, Family Promise National as an organization was able to realize bringing over 98,000 people out of a homeless situation.
That is beyond cool. Matt, you have something for us. We don't want to, maybe you can, you can share that, you know, Hagar, you know, somebody that I might have mentioned earlier in the program that I haven't gotten out yet, she would have loved to know this.
Yeah, I think you mentioned earlier in the hour the Hindi language, and so I thought, well, might want to loop back to that before we close out. Give it a little pretext and context here is that I went on a mission trip to a communist nation on 2003, and when I was there, I spent 2 months, and I would ask people there, have you ever heard of Jesus? And someone said, no, he doesn't live here in this town, but if you go over to that next village, maybe Jesus lives over there, but we've never heard of him. I was shocked because this was not a kid. This was someone who was 70 years old. So I went to the next village and asked them, have you ever heard of Jesus? They said, no, who is he? Is he your friend in America? And while it sounded funny at first, I spent 2 months hearing that, and that was the main answer that people gave. And it broke my heart, and from it, it formed a personal mission statement for my family, which is to make disciples of Jesus of the most unreached people, which led us to spend 7 years as missionaries in South Asia with the IMB, the International Mission Board, from 2009-2016. South Asia is the greatest concentration of lost people on earth. And so if your life is about making disciples of the people who've never heard of Jesus, South Asia is a great place to be. And there, we learned the Hindi language by the grace of God. And so we were talking about John 3:16 earlier. And so here's what it sounds like in Hindi. Parmeshwarne is jagat se aise prem kiya ki apna ekalauta putra de diya taki jo koi us par vishwas rakhe wo anant jeevan payega.
There you go, Alice. Can you?
I really admire you guys for doing this. I really think that all of these places need to have a heart for the elderly. We have Hindi people in the nursing homes. Your church has 25 churches. Get that heart for the elderly also, and just put it out there. They don't need an organization to do that. It's
well, the
a
cool
simple
thing is
thing.
Is that, you know, God gives everybody that special thing.
And some people would be going,
yeah, they're going, we need somebody in the prisons, and we need somebody, and we do. And so God is, he's out there recruiting, and which is the idea behind Kingdom Pursuits. How does God take your passion for whatever that may be
and uses it
to build the kingdom? But my opportunity to share this is beyond wonderful, because I'm just so grateful for everybody here, for Darren and Alice and Matt coming and sharing your passion so that other people listening today would see what God does when you get a little uncomfortable and you jump out of the nest, right, Matt?
Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity. Really enjoyed being with you all.
Thank you very much, Robbie. Thank you. Now stay tuned. You got so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network.